The second part of Fitterwig, after Gary dropped it. There. We will continue on.
Put it next to me.
Keep it out of reach.
Happy with that, actually.
Sean, I posted this to the website as well.
Okay, great. Thanks. Yeah, so that's just if I got all my numbers right, which is, there's a lot of numbers to mess with, but
I have it.
Yeah, people can draw their own conclusions, but to me it looked like we weren't seeing what might be some systemic problem with the North Ladder after all the mods that we made. I'm not seeing that, but obviously this year after the spill stopped, we did see something. It looks to be the lower ladder based on the mods that Miro tried out there. So if the additional work that we're looking at for this year fixes that, then it should be fine.
Well, and then we only have three pumps right now. And we're supposed to have six, so we're still looking to get those other three pumps up.
Yep.
And
right.
That's what the correct reduction plan is about, getting those up. And then we'll have, we haven't really, we need to commission it after we do that. So that means going through different settings and all that stuff with the sluice gates, and Steve will have to be out there telling us how
there's
to run
not a
it.
Gate opening issue, it's just a head issue, and he's been running it. He was running it at the correct head, and he wasn't doing the passage. So that tells me that it's not just a pump or a water flow issue, it's a distribution flow issue.
And that's what that should address us, right? And we can't do that right now. We
can't distribute it. Next year, we'll have that resolved, and our adult study should highlight any problems. I'm not saying that looking at what I'm seeing here, I don't think there's any disaster problem going on out there. It's just maybe an issue.
One thing I was thinking too is that we're going to have those Ditson I-beams that are placed throughout the lower ladder.
Right.
Should be able to, as part of next year's study, have a look-see.
Look and see if Fisher
rejecting any or throwing sideways. Miro seemed to indicate that he could see the
turning around.
This was going on, the sudden turnaround, that's milling good. Behavior in the lower.
And I see that on the bottom, but I don't know what that means.
What's that in?
No,
I was going to say it was infrared goggles.
Polarized goggles?
Yeah, I know.
When he said turning,
not at the entrance. In the transition pool area.
Yeah. And you can see that from the U of I data too.
Yeah.
Back then.
It's not unusual.
So we added full Chinook for this reason to the telemetry study.
Right.
I figure we're already going to have to pick at least down in the way for steelhead, so we might as well collect some culture.
Yeah, as long as we have
the deal, that won't be a problem.
And we might, talk to the researchers about, positioning some receivers in those specific locations that we think are problem areas, maybe, and try to get some clarity on
the lower ladder will be wired up.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you plan on doing an RT, correct?
Yeah.
As long as you get the AFF worked out.
As long as the AFF mods.
The one thing I saw looking at this that was good in Sockeye, especially, I saw it noticed that years ago, they can get confused, it seems like, we end up with something going to which way we're off with the virus. At least count on this ground, so evidence.
So can I ask the dumb question of what Miro did?
No.
I heard it was a distribution of flow issue. I heard it wasn't a head problem, but I didn't hear what was the solution that would prevent it next year. What?
Turned up discharge from the pumps.
Yeah. So he had two pumps running, and then he asked us to crank up a third one.
So it
changed the head.
I was going to say, so
changed
the entrance head differential went from 1.5 to all the way up to 2.2 or 2.3.
So 2.2 solved it.
Well, it made the passage go up, but then it threw out a criteria.
Right.
And so we called him and said, we're going to have you in criteria. We told him to run it at 1.9. So he brought it back down to 1.9, and passage is still up to baseline levels, at least 2010 levels.
Okay, so
criteria is normally 1 foot right now.
Okay.
I mean,
so the solution is running it at 1.9, and that'll be implemented next year as well as it.
Well, these mods are doing next year should help.
We'll have to do a complete commission.
That's
what
we're
Okay.
Hopefully, once the chimneys and the other things are in, once this, all the work is done, it should hopefully operate as well as it should once also the work is done, and we won't have to run at this high level.
Okay. Thanks for the clarification. I didn't know the solution. I wasn't fortunate enough to be on that stream.
1 to 2.
1.5 to 2.
Oh, at the entrance.
But feel free to answer.
It's 1 to 2.
It's 1 to 2.
It's 1 to 2 feet. We run it at about 1.5.
Right. That's the entrance head, right. Yeah. Sorry.
so our contractor's going to start again. We November 1st.
Okay. Well, good.
Yes.
Hopefully, that'll resolve the issues.
It'll be a crazy busy time. Anything else? Well, okay. So we promised you that we'd give you 30% this week, but it's not ready. So we're still working on getting it to you. He knows.
I know, but it's a little better.
We all know better.
I know, but since they're here and they.
We all don't care.
Okay, you
whatever you want.
I care.
You can talk to Ed later. Yeah. He's the only one that cares. The rest
of us.
You
would not do it.
If you didn't do it, it'd be fine.
That's why I was like, I could talk about it, but I think it's a Willamette.
It's a Willamette project, so.
Yes, yeah, a little
I care,
down
and Jeff Brown cares.
So we're still working on it. We're going to get to
it. It's already rock.
Do you have any idea when?
Okay. We kind of have to revise our schedule, but it's going to be later. Okay. Probably early November.
Early November?
Mid-October.
We
have couple weeks.
Okay.
Instead,
yeah.
Sorry.
Anything more for me?
What the hell?
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Where she's supposed to
get
the
citizens. Oh, okay. So they've asked me to add the self-landry box to my contract. So we're in the process of adding that in. The winch is in the box at the box fabrication. So Slayer is going to, they're actually looking at those winches, going to fabricate it, and they'll send it in.
When it's done.
So.
Okay, you got to talk about that.
Yeah.
Brian Stewart, he can talk about it. He's the technical lead on that. And it's actually Village's job, but it's my contract.
This is the quickest, easiest way to get it paid for, basically, or fabricated.
For sure.
So since Sladen's on the side.
That's all the lateral.
You
want to
John Day
square that
trap?
It's a combination.
South Fish out of trap. You can do that.
Yeah, I guess we started that work in July. So that's moving, feels like light speed. basically a month for DDR review, a month for a second DDR review, and then we have October here for developing the 60% tenants of specs, and November for the 90% tenants of specs, and then going to using that to mod the North Fish Ladder contract with Slayden to do the fabrication work and installation during the normal South Fish had a ladder outage there at the end of January.
So this is the South Fish ladder. This was the plan Joanna comments like last week?
Right.
Okay.
The
5-inch entrance. Have you raised that?
No, I have not. I'm waiting to hear the answer.
The 5-inch entrance to the trap. You're raising up the picket leads, reducing the picket leads to 3/4-inch clear opening, but you got a 5-inch entrance. What's covering that?
Horizontal bars.
What's the spacing on those horizontal bars? Because I couldn't find it anywhere in your plans.
That should have been written in the DDR portion of it. It might not have been in the plans. 1-inch though, open spacing.
I didn't
see
it.
The bottom still has the 1.5-inch. But the inside the frame that's holding up the picket leads would be 1-inch.
What I'm wondering is what's preventing fish from going into that 5-inch opening, and I didn't see it in the write-up or in the plans.
Okay.
So, I mean, as far as I know, it's the 5-inch slot underneath all the picket leads.
I'm a little concerned about a 5-inch slot.
You guys were doing the way I read it was.
What kind of trap was
the 1-inch?
The gap along the bottom at John Day,
yeah,
as well as the dowels and elsewhere.
Yeah.
The system is 1.5 inches along,
yep,
the bottom of the picket.
You're going to maintain that. It's the way
maintain
I read it.
Maintain that.
Okay.
And 1-inch in the spacing for the rest of that 5-inch.
That's how I understood it.
So the fish couldn't even get to the 5-inch opening, essentially. Is that true? Or
right. That's correct.
Yeah, that's all I read was they weren't, the picket leads weren't coming up 5 inches. The 5 inch was directly behind.
Absolutely.
The
picket lead.
Except they're going to put 3/4-inch new picket leads in.
No,
that's my draw issue.
Yeah, the lamp would be able to pass anywhere between the bottom and the 5 inches.
Right. All right, they'll go into the 1-inch or possibly over the bottom. But that'll keep salmon out. And then the other thing was the 3/4 yeah. inch spacing and the additional density in the cross-sectional area of that flow will kick a little more flow into the count slot.
Right, which you then adjust the bulkhead there right. down a little bit.
To adjust that. Yeah. So that's
good.
Right. So we've got
I didn't, like I said, I didn't read that anything what was covering the 5-inch open.
I haven't seen the packs because I've seen the trials in between the track packs. I haven't written a response memo to the comments that you guys sent, but all of your comments should have been addressed, I believe, in the 90%, if not the 100%. Again, it's still
evolving.
That's why I did read it, and I talked to him about
some of the comments don't really are relevant because you change things quite a bit too.
So. Yeah. And they did. They got the velocities out there, and they got some balancing stuff, so we know where we are.
Yeah, I think we're okay. I don't see any problems now at all.
Yeah, so. Like I said, just as long as that is not 5-inch clear opening over there.
See, I gave them the benefit of the doubt. Even they would do something that crazy.
So I figured good figures up to something there. Say stuff like that.
We're working on your harvest technique.
That's right.
Your
harvest technique. And ladder harvest technique.
They at least be counted for.
Okay. They are built. Something going on.
So we'll look.
You want to go there, do you?
Oh, by the way.
So we'll look for 60% plans and specs sometime.
Yeah, it's on just a few weeks here.
End of October.
23rd, 24th,
something like that.
That Wednesday. Well,
we did, actually.
We want to try to send those out.
Cash and flash.
Interestingly, Nathan Zorich had a great comment on the design. He suggested, you know, with respect to the entrance picket leads and then the kind of trash racks or upstream picket leads, you know, terminology, having the capability of swapping back to the original in some sort of, you know, I missed the last design meeting, so I don't know where you guys are on addressing that, but basically being able to easily put in the old picket leads if there was some sort of problem.
Okay.
We found.
Okay.
That was good.
There would be, I guess, no problem. You just have to schedule a time that you'd be willing to.
The way it was designed is that the entrance area on the bottom, the new picket leads are kind of sitting on the entrance, and so you have to.
The old ones could sit on it too. Basically, we've continued the guide slots and just brought them all the way around to the floor.
Yeah.
We're including, for this first year, because we're moving so quickly, a video camera for the counting mechanism, and then we'll also be putting in a pit tag detector, just a flat plate on top of the conduit portion of the trap. We recently worked with Mary and Bill Wasson to get a preliminary antenna design to drop it into our modeling system and configure it.
Put a whole another set of guide slots in there.
Is it going to be like all flex, both tag types? Because there's a lot of lamp right there being tagged with full duplex now, it sounds like. So
he asked if there was any full duplex systems nearby and whatnot. He was worried about
interference
and whatnot.
Which not yet. Right now. Not right now.
So, Sean, on that idea of being able to swap out the picket leads, are you talking about putting another set of guides behind? Because otherwise, to swap it out, you'd have to pull the picket leads. Everything would be accessible, and the adults could swim back there and you'd trap them.
Yeah, there's two slots.
So as long as you have two slots, okay.
Picket leads have two slots. Trash racks only have one. Or upstream picket leads, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
They only have one slot.
So you really have to think twice about pulling that upstream picket lead out. Because you're probably going to have to dewater the whole thing, go to orifice flow, and crowd everything out of there.
As long as the fabricator can get it all done.
Yeah, well, the other idea, I guess, to help make sure that this is successful is that we're bringing the fabricator on board here at the 60% fence and specs for them to review the drawings for fabrication issues to get those solved ahead of time. So ever comes on the end of the contract mod, that they're able to go right to it and not spend too much time questioning whether or not they can do it.
Okay, what are we doing that for?
Why do you do that?
All right.
Been there.
Answer your question, Trevor. It's half duplex, and
I mean, it is.
Yeah, some library are getting tagged. Mm-hmm. We'll see how many return as adults. Yeah. That will be interesting. Yeah. But I think the purpose of this will be for the near term.
Just saying, it sounds like there's already get technology out there where those readers that read both tag tags. Yeah. So.
Yeah. A side note, I do think we should start having a regional dialogue on the future of the, you know, full duplex, no, half duplex. It's a,
it's a concern.
Plus the system is wired up. We've been using half duplex for lights originally because there were concerns about library parking or less on our but there's some juvenile library in the system that can tag for studies with the smaller full duplex tags. So they're going to be, some of them may return as adults. I don't know how many.
It's a smaller tag.
Randy looks like he's ready.
What are you waiting for, Randy?
I'm just patiently waiting.
You're doing it.
I'm just taking it all in. All
right. Are we a quarter collector?
Dallas East.
Dallas East. AWS backup.
Oh, we're back into the.
We're back on the agenda.
Oh, we're back on the agenda now.
Number 12.
The Dalles East.
Okay.
Dish letter, AWS backup.
We are in the process of getting the 90% EDR ready for a submittal with the 90% comments from the agencies, as well as our agency technical review. We had to put that into this document. We didn't have that in before. So there was a little delay in getting the 90% ready because we have that review and we have to address those comments. So we're looking at getting the 90% draft final out to the group by the October 31st, end of this month.
Happy Halloween.
And hopefully we can get that back checked, get it out, and get it back checked, and have the final out by mid-November.
So you're going to give us, what, 2 days review period?
Yeah, back check the comments. But to say everything's okay. It's something to shoot for. I know we're all busy trying to get other reports out and reviews, but we'll just get it out.
Help me. Take an annual leave.
So this is the final report, which we'll
EDR
just distribute.
Yeah. It's a draft. It's a back check.
This is the 90, right?
Yeah. We're getting the 90 to the final. Draft final.
Right. So this is the draft.
This is the draft final.
So are we asking, I guess the question is, are we going to ask for input again on the draft final? Do you guys want to review
the
draft final?
Do you
want to
review the draft final? I think we've...
Well, we haven't seen our comments yet. Our answers to our comments are, as far as I know.
That's just a weird chance. The draft. It's a back check.
So if you blew us off, I guess we probably want to have
some comments.
Fine. Except that every one of our comments is
actually
faithfully.
This is jogging my memory on a lot of these different teams. On this particular project, part of this 90% review, I went back and Dave Ward went back and added quite a bit to the biological consideration side because we got some feedback that it was a little bit weak on the analysis. So it will be probably good to have folks take a look at it.
Yeah.
And I will make
who
sure that
you
have
feedback. Who gave you the consent?
I'm flexible on that review schedule. It needs 3 weeks or a month. That's fine.
This was Langsley. Langsley took a look at it and said you need to have more detail.
Well, he was more working there. Division.
I know.
He's looking at this stuff.
When he was at Division or when he was here in Portland?
Right before he left.
Okay. So I'm just thinking what the motivation is.
I'm not talking, it doesn't change anything about the result. It was more about, this had more to do with how do you document decisions in an alternative.
That's fine. I just want to make sure the board wasn't starting to say, well,
we haven't changed. We haven't changed the preferred alternative. That was at low level intake.
Right.
The fixed spot. So we haven't changed that. It's just that, Sean's correct, a little bit more biological
justification
and background.
Was the justification towards the adult side of this? And the need for emergency, or is it
No. This is on the juvenile entrainment question. Okay. Entrainment risk. How did you compare alternatives?
Okay.
Kind of question. And it wasn't. We had had dialogue, but right. We didn't do a good job of quantifying risk. And trying to compare the nuances between the alternatives. And you may remember, they're very similar. There's just some intake elevation differences. And so Mike said, okay, go do some homework.
Yeah, it's the depth distribution of Tish.
Right. So I went back through some of the old reports, made some tips for Dave Ward, who's the biologist on this from HDR.
Right.
And, we were working on...
I guess tired of those.
We looked at. I mean, like, we're considered already in the 90%. There's not a lot of data, so there wasn't.
Right. No. You just assumptions that you made.
So, but documenting those assumptions.
Right. Okay. So we'll take a look at that and the draft final and have a little bit of time for review.
What's your construction date on that?
next spring.
2024.
2018.
FY15.
It's out there.
Okay. To that end, in anticipation of getting the EDR completed, we started forming a team for the EDR. The DDR is starting sometime in around the scoping for November. That I'm typically saying a year for that. And then plans and specs, that would be, DDR would end sometime at the end of 14. And then we start plans and specs. 13. And then plans and specs would start in 14 and 15. And those determines
It's further than we've ever been before.
We're close to install out
somewhere.
We haven't got the final budget. That's usually
We have to.
I suppose this could skyrocket on us like other things do.
Hopefully, we have a pretty reasonable estimate at this point.
One thing that Langsley asked, by the way, is for the this alternatives study, we were specifically thinking of the scenario of both units being out, right? Mike asked the question,
could you use it
if you only had one unit? And so that would be something to address in the DDR, but I just wanted to plant that seed.
I'm a little surprised someone hasn't brought up earlier.
That was the scope of what we were asked to do. But
and that was the whole point of saying, no, we don't need screening. We can just, this is an infrequently used system, unlikely to be used except in emergency.
Why would you have to use it with just one unit? Isn't one unit enough to run the ladder on its own?
No. You have to the Fish Passage plan already has a backup plan for,
It does a lot better now.
Close south. Entrances. Yeah.
South goes by us.
But this could buy you quite a bit.
That's the problem with doing this is that now we relax the
criteria.
A lucrative thing to do is like no.
It's a very reasonable question.
If Wasco
or worse.
If Wasco wants to put a turbine in and screen the thing and do all that, that's fine.
Christine says,
where did they get the water? Time for you to say so.
have a good VPN for 10 minutes.
What? So.
Anyway, that's for the next phase.
Next.
Yeah, that's the operational phase. But I mean,
well, it would be part of the design, too, because it might affect
if you're down to one turbine,
the design.
Down this year.
Would you turn this anyway.
We haven't looked at it in terms of how we would run it.
Right.
Don't want to come in and vulture it. And again, you're
just don't.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
I know. Just don't. You're not going to do that.
I guess you saw the backup that you
did. Did you get to that? Don't. You're not going to do that.
I'll go back and dig out my letter, but I think here in memo,
no,
sure there was something in there that said this is infrequently emergency only. Because of that, we'll look the other way on our criteria.
Appendix one.
Yeah.
All right.
I guess that's advice.
Corner collector. Do we need a break, folks?
No. You have me till about 12, and I got to speed back to another exciting meeting.
The corner collector work should be started this week. The contract has been awarded. And the repair strategy is to use mortar and epoxy compound to repair large spalled areas and filling the joints and or beveled corners. Anything significant there?
No.
Turbine survival program. So we have powerhouse going open geometry on this on our schedule. George provided in this handout that the 60% bid document should be available for regional review in late November. V1 Bonnet Alert model draft report should be available for review in early November. And the V2 modeling for best operating point will start in late October. And then the Ice Harbor runner designs moving forward with third iteration of the exploding unit. One of the things we talked about at the last meeting was the data mining exercise. Mm-hmm. And the sensor fish needs, to look at power offs two and power offs one offs. We met with PNNL. And Mark Wyland, I don't know if you're still on the phone. Are you there, Mark?
Yep, I'm still here.
Okay.
What?
We met with Mark and talked about how what do they need from us, as far as
money
drafting one pagers and what we're trying to do with the is figuring out do we have statistically significant data, in the bins that we're looking at to determine whether or not the new stats is enough to look at the survival of operations. So, powerhouse one, we're looking at, 1% operation versus an open geometry and getting that information to Mark to process and Mark working that information up. Powerhouse two is a little bit different. And Mark, do you want to comment on any of this stuff? As far as bidding data?
What we're needing to do is determine what the operations, what Powerhouse 1 and Powerhouse 2 have been operated at, to determine how we can actually bin the data to get sample sizes that could be useful for statistical analysis.
I have the 5-minute data processed.
You have it processed?
I haven't analyzed it, but I have it all processed.
We'll send that to Mark.
Yeah.
Did you hear that, Mark?
I heard bits and pieces. I think it was Lori, and I think she said she had the data processed, just not analyzed.
Yes. Till 2006. How far back do you want to go?
That's farther than we're working.
2006 is further back than we need to go, but
I'll make my files.
That would be definitely far enough. 2009 is probably our first year with B1 at Bonneville.
Okay, I will tell John where the data sits.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you'd also want to figure out what years you even did outside of open geometry.
It's all sitting in the. I'm just going to tell John where the data's at. Yeah. He can go grab what he wants.
Right? We only did open geometry with any significance this last year. Right.
That's folks criticize the Baus work of art. I don't know if anybody read that, the tome. But that is contained in there, and so I could provide that tomorrow. See, now, who's laughing now? But that is all summarized because I knew this conversation would come up, and I didn't want to say, you remember what dates those were? And I would say, no, I don't. And it's all there. Do you want me to send that to you?
Yes,
or do you still have that? Did you delete that as fast as you got it? Do you have it sitting there?
Like the rest of us?
Because it's all there. Yeah. It has the operations, dates, times.
Can I have
it's all there. In blue ink. I'll do it in blue ink for you.
When it comes to those teletypes would be used.
It's all there.
Alongside the 5 ops data, 5 minute ops data to make sure.
You don't have to hug me. It's all there. I'm so excited. I've been waiting for this moment.
That's quite a game.
It's there.
Yeah. What it's there. Thank you.
You're welcome. No need to. Everybody, don't speak at once. This is my moment.
It's very valuable.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah.
I've got it noted in the.
Yes.
So we will.
Thanks. Yeah. No. Don't worry about it. It's.
Big A, small A.
Yeah. It's all there. So Mark, it should all be this year's ops. You could probably complement it with the 5 minute.
Well, they're going to need the 5 minute because the 5 minute goes back to their tracking data. You can have when they did
at least
it, and then take the 5 minute data to tell you what units were operated when, and then match that up with the tech. They're going to need both. You give them a great start so they don't have to sort through a very large glorious table.
Yes.
There's your attaboy. Well done.
It's painful to get there. It's painful to get there, but I finally, that's good. That's all I needed. Absolutely. I can go home now.
Fulfilled, satisfied.
That's the season's 1 year's worth of compliments.
I'll send you the link for the 5 minute data.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's on the land if anybody else wants it.
Okay.
And the Dow is there. John Day never sends me data, so it's not there.
The other thing we talked about,
wait, just one more thing on that. So, Mark, this is Doug Bouse with the Core. I'm just curious, what was the timeline? I hear you're working on it. What's the, as far as taking a look at it, are you thinking this will be done in a month, a day, a year? What's your plan for synthesis of information? Mark, are you on the line?
I caught little bits and pieces of that.
Could you just highlight your timeline?
Right now we're still in the development phases. We don't have a contract in place for this yet.
Hence the money.
So phase is to see if this is feasible, if we can actually get reasonable sample sizes, and then from there determine what our binning would be, and to conduct the statistical analysis.
Okay, what exactly are we comparing?
That's what we're trying to figure out is,
right. I mean, he's looking at something to bin. So what are we binning? First powerhouse. It's open geometry versus standard operation, 1%. I don't think we're going to change or further define within the 1%.
I don't think so.
Too far.
Yeah. No, I would say
second powerhouse. We're looking at turbine survival at up lower versus upper 1%.
What's the breakup there?
What are we looking at in second?
Mark and I have been talking about that. It seems to me the way the data is probably going to fall out based on operations of powerhouse 2 and high water years is, my guess would be, and limitations on operations, my guess would be most of it. Mark, please comment, as I speak here, but my guess would be it'd be centered in the middle and at the upper end.
Yeah. Right. So
then splitting it in half isn't good. So do you split it into thirds and look at middle versus upper? And then knowing what the unit looks like from Erdic work at middle versus upper, that's probably a good comparison.
They both look bad.
Yeah. middle being worse.
I don't know that we're going to see much difference in that. We can look at it, I guess.
It doesn't take any additional fish, right? It's all retrospective, so.
It's all retrospective.
Yep. So
we're just
binning it.
How do you bin this, and what are you trying to determine?
Powerhouse 2 is a little bit more complicated.
It is.
I didn't know that was part of the exercise. Is that part of the exercise now?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, the big thing was to look at the open geometry versus standard operation of Powerhouse 1.
Which I understood, and I'm with you there. I didn't know that.
That's the question of Powerhouse 2. That's the point. Look at it.
Mortality question.
Yeah, but it's the turbine survival part of that question that we're able to look at here. I mean, we have a general turbine survival, but can we get an operating range?
So we can know what.
Right. No, I appreciate the spirit of the operation. I just didn't know that was, yeah. As we've been talking about this topic, I thought that we were focusing on Powerhouse 1, but it's...
No, we're an all-encompassing group. We're a very curious group.
Okay,
you
all right.
You read my memo, did you? You read yours. You didn't read mine.
I've been waiting to get some feedback. No, I didn't read yours. It was only a page. I was expecting, you know...
There's nothing there.
It was a fifth grade book report. But
anyway. All right, okay, so anyways, that's part of it. And then as far as the contract goes, was that going to get contracted through what cookie jar of cash? Was that going back to...
Yours.
Wasn't there tomorrow's meeting for... Is that an SCT issue, or where does that fall out on the dollar signs?
It's
CRIFA.
It's got to come out of CRIFA.
So is that on... Is it in the CRIFA, is it in the prioritization queue? So we're talking about this, waiting for money.
You know, and Brad's not here, he would be able to answer that better than I would.
There is money under CRFM and JSIS for additional analysis. Now, the question is, does this going to fall into that or not, is a question you guys are going to answer.
When's the next meeting, isn't it?
SCT?
Yeah, isn't it tomorrow, today, yesterday?
No, SCT is after F Palm.
It's on your fish calendar.
After F Palm, I think.
Okay.
After F Palm on Thursday.
So I need to follow up with Brad now.
SCT is the 18th of October.
Yeah.
18 October is
on somebody's birthday.
I'm sure.
Close to it.
Oh,
no.
Not the 18th.
The question then is to ask Brad, is that on the list? Is that...
So, do they have it covered one way or the other? It may not be a line item on the list.
And there's other issues. There's other SCT budget. Yeah. There's other research that needs to be covered into that as well that we're talking about. So, John, one thing that did come up that I've been noodling in my head on is, so outside of 1% at Powerhouse 1, there's kind of the thing that we looked at, or at least I looked at a couple years back, and then there's kind of where they've been operating, which has been even more flow through there. Are you guys talking about breaking that out? Because, I mean, there's like, when we said above 1%, remember at 1% we said, we could think about 1.5, 2K per extra per bay.
Right.
Per unit. But,
so you're talking
last
about
year,
the Schwartz open geometry?
The Schwartz, has like something jumped up to like 4 or 5. It's like, where did this extra flow come from?
Okay.
So that...
Do we, well, here,
so that's the question, is, I mean, because if you say outside 1%, there's what Gary and I have looked at in the model,
right.
And so we felt a little comfortable with it, but then there's what has actually been going on.
That's a black box that
Well,
for sure.
The one thing, I mean, Jim Keel's been working, the HCC's been working on developing the prescribed open geometry point for every head.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we would do in the future. That's the purpose of this, is to look at what we would do in the future. But if that ends up with being like 2 days last year, that we're actually at that point, then we've got nothing to look at.
Yeah.
So how fine do you want?
Well, that's my question. I mean, because this could, I mean, if we're above, like, say, if we're doing the Schwarzenegger of 5K, someone had to go there. Come on. So if you're going with an extra, say, 5K per bit, and that does show a negative impact, that's just going to say, well, that's because we're 5K, we're not the 1.5K. And then we're going to be back to like having minimal data to fiddle with.
Right.
And I'm just saying, all right, people might want to think about how we do
worse.
That. Yeah.
So when
that's that's something we'll have to do.
Fiddle with.
You know, define the edges of the numbers again.
Yeah.
And look at offset.
Well, you know what's going to happen.
What's
going to happen? Well, we're going to look at this and see the difference. You know, not whether there's one or not. Well, type two error or not.
Well, let's
we're all going to be looking at each other. What if there really was a difference? Well, type 2 error is the problem.
Yeah.
You know, and your bounds, your error bounds are so wide. There may have been a difference, but I can't tell.
Yeah, we see the simple difference, but the bounds are big enough
that's
that
that's the end result of these
types.
That's what I like to see, a regression curve, so you could just get some inclination if it's worse or better instead of binning it.
If you bin it, then you're one or the other.
Yeah.
If you do a range, then you can see if there's a trend. Trends are better sometimes in this case than just absolute. But you picking all this up, Mark?
Yes, I am.
So
do you think a regression curve would be possible on this, Mark?
We'll have to take a look at the number of points, but I think it would probably overall, instead of breaking it into pieces, probably add a little more clarity. But it all is going to depend on our sample size.
Right.
And each operation.
Yeah, if you can add a curve to it, I think, given that we may have a variety of points, that would be good to see if the trend line is consistent. At least that would tell us something about it, I think, besides just yes or no.
Yeah, we had actually discussed that previously as well.
So, okay, I guess it's up to you guys to kind of, once you get the data, just kind of look at what you can do with it.
Yeah.
Tell a story. You know what we're after.
And then the HTC comment about what your definition of is, when will we know what best geometry is? When where's that as far as
Tammy?
Right, and his tables are being peer reviewed and they will be available when he's done some.
Oh, maybe like
this ever?
Like soon?
No.
No, I think
no,
I just saw
I think
a,
they should be relatively soon.
Okay. Did you see an email from Jim?
I don't think so. Oh, it was with Ice Harbor was the last email I saw.
I saw one regarding Bonneville, which may have been peer reviewed.
Yeah, he said they should be available in the next couple of weeks or so.
That's what I got too, because he called and left a message and said, do I want to look at them before the new ones came with them? And I said, my head's not here yet, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, so I think they went out for
now. So, and I agree that they should be available in a couple of weeks.
So yeah, that's the case, and he's on track.
And I know that you think I have great power, Tom, but I cannot control engineers.
Yes.
It could be, or it could
be. That's not true. I've seen her actually control it. Maybe it'll be. Just hasn't perfected that person.
I don't know.
You know, one other thing that we were requested to look at was spillway, bay by bay.
Right.
Yeah, that was another part of this defining issue. You know, look at the
bay by bay or bin by bin. I mean, it may not be bay by bay.
Two bays,
three bays, whatever you can do to get a horizontal.
Even if you could just do sevens, the sevens and the 14s, there'd be a tremendous benefit of being able to do bays 1, 2, 3, 18, 17, 16. And then even if you had a group 14, 4 through 15.
Right.
Or even take that into threes and do the middle separate from the two sides, because our gate openings would be a little bit better controlled that way. But if we could get the sevens and the 14s and potentially isolate 9, because if we've got problems with those holes,
that's our question. The whole thing is to try to smooth out the problem with spillway.
The other issue is potentially we've got that one hole pier. We've got a pier that the whole pier is just the rebar cages left. It'd be great if we could decipher
really?
That's a problem too.
That can't be a problem.
No.
I'm sure that has nothing to do with our survival issue.
Yeah, but
that's not going to show the rebar cage on the habitat. So, but there is one bay, and the
don't
reality
you
is.
You want to fix that?
No, we actually
anyway?
We would cut it out. We would actually cut it out. Because
they kind of hang out there.
No, remember that these things are standalone when they're constructed,
they are,
and a lot
are.
Of that pier wall is there to stand alone when it's a single bay. Once you get the monoliths tied together, we can actually take a lot of that rebar can just be cut out and flush and smoothed out so it's not a fish killer, if it's a fish killer now.
Anything you can do to weaken that dam, I'm all for it.
Okay.
Says
the NOAA representative.
That happens.
So
just realize if that happens, you have no adult passage.
I live plenty high enough.
You live plenty high enough, but you have no adult passage.
Oh no, we just make a hole bigger.
Rubble, they'll get through it. Don't worry. There's a way. Maybe you keep the sea lines out.
Anyway. Let me identify where I would like to know whether we have injuries.
That's what we did over there.
Okay, so yeah, we'll Mark will work with you on
that would be great.
The areas of concern structurally, and try to figure out how to do that.
Well,
yes,
the cage is just a...
Tables.
It's amazing what you see when the divers go down there.
Yeah,
and make
bad. Tables.
How bad.
Up and down the tree tables. You know. Like done in a month.
A couple weeks.
Cool.
Why would that make
Well, you What's guys next? Have never told us, to, have never complained about it. We keep thinking you should.
I didn't complain.
We complained back when it first came up back in
'05. Oh, we complained.
I was worse than
yesterday.
Hey,
you know,
I stayed home.
No.
Just wait for the thing to crumble in.
So are we good for open geometry, Powerhouse 1?
That was a good update. Thanks for all the info. That was informative.
Well, yeah, once we get the data, and if you can like tell us like how well they're going to be able to split out,
yeah,
that'd be great.
Oh, yeah.
Looks good.
Cool. Okay, so, pardon. Are you done with turbine?
I am. Unless you have something else. What would you like to...
We should probably talk about the future here. This is GSP.
Sensor fish?
No, I was thinking more about the trip, which Tom hasn't heard much about, the trip to Uruk on December 10. The primary purpose of that trip is, the week of the 10th, is to look at the Bonneville spillway and the debris and rock issues there, but and erosion, but also to look at open geometry, or not open geometry, to look at Powerhouse 2.
B2 model, turbine model.
Yeah.
And what Davidson has agreed to do is to at least set up the model once a day for high, medium, and low. So 3 days, yeah. 3 looks. It's an eye-opener. We looked at it.
Fascinating.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's like, you know, just... Put the strobe lights on it, Pink Floyd music.
Wow, you are dating yourself, aren't you?
And then you wonder, why doesn't that survive?
I don't know. I still see that stuff all the time. I don't think it'll ever go away.
Pink Floyd or what?
Floyd is forever.
Let's get this clear exactly what we're talking about.
So takes anyway, him that, to the cornfield.
Explains all this mushroom picking.
Totally.
Speaking
of
trips.
Yes,
December
10th.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
December
10th,
we're
going to
have I need to have a conversation with Brad, but the goal would be to get an agenda. Since we've really already had an agenda,
yeah.
We just need to modify the agenda, correct it. Should be able to get an agenda out mid-October.
Okay.
The plan from the spillway side, if I can work it in-house, we will try and get down there before that trip, not to do anything with regards to the spill patterns, but to make sure all of the tools are right and are working. So rock
Good
sizes
idea.
And cameras and
course,
that type separate. Of stuff. So it's not a spill issue the first trip. The first trip is making sure it's hydraulically allowing us to do what we want it to do.
We were busily looking at the Bonneville second powerhouse model last week and then the model cracked.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was another daughter out. That was a damn
daughter. Yeah, that's what I'm
talking
about. We want to make sure we have the right rock.
Keep Marshall off.
And the right color rock.
So that there will be a trip before, but it's not to deal with the spill pattern side. It's to make sure the models can do what we need it to perform.
Okay.
So just so you know, we're not keeping you away
from
it.
Oh, I know.
I just want
it's good that you go down and do that. That's very good.
Because I don't want to be playing with rocks before you all get there. Yeah. I want to be playing with rocks before you all get there.
Yeah.
One time we say more rocks. Talked about putting pieces in the on paper and you know things like that. A little structure that maybe isolators where we can collect it better. Kind of look at things like that. You know?
At the moment,
make holes in this. In the paper maybe, so
bigger holes.
There are some things we could look at to structurally fix it, but at the moment, I would like to not have to have a $1 million contract every year to remove rock. So if we can come up with a way to, if it's not detrimental to a fish passage perspective, if we can come up with an operational fix and then work on a permanent structural fix, we're better off. At the moment, I think we have to have, we can't deal with rocks like this. We gotta stop it. Why all of a sudden has it started? why in 2011 and 2012 did we put rocks in the Stilling Basin?
Big flow.
But if you look at 2000, my preliminary, I haven't looked enough at 12. We only had 3 weeks. We didn't have 12. And 12 weeks in 2011. Yeah. So there's got to be something that we got to change. Yeah. So I just don't want to have to, I don't want to spill with those rocks in there.
I think you should start a big rock garden someplace with a lot of money.
Well,
or a construction business.
We have a really good place to put
Native
those
rock.
Rocks if we can figure out a way to make it all pan out. We have a really good place for those rocks. Really good place.
Island. You said that. Rice Island.
How do you say Malheur?
So we have a goal for those rocks, so getting them out is a good thing.
Okay.
No, they're building a jetty somewhere.
Actually, we'd like to put them on top of the Columbia River jetties.
That's not a bad idea.
That's where we'd like.
That was falling apart. Yeah.
That's what we'd like to do.
What's next?
South jetty.
What do you got next?
KDA configuration and operation plan. Contract has been awarded to convert PSWs to permanent features. Structure plan for next in water work period. That's all I have.
All right. We're skipping that one.
That's good.
Well.
The second part is
asking
what color are the new PSWs? That's
black.
Battleship
gray.
There you go. The wonderful one next.
FGE. Yeah, this is our favorite.
Okay, I should leave now.
Is Sean still on? No, we agreed the best part. Well,
this was one you guys agreed to have a special meeting, so Sean's on.
This was already covered.
Sean Askelson
is on.
Yeah, right.
Still.
All right. So,
B2FG. Ready?
And
I'll we're still working to try to get our 90% or 80-90% draft out there. We're still kind of waiting for some cost estimates from our cost engineering group. And that's about all on that. We're still plugging along and trying to get those cost estimates. So once that those are in, we can get the draft together. This is the main report. We are also starting up an effort associated with the report, more of a supplement or addendum. Start looking at the flow control alternative. We're starting to scope that out. We had a meeting this week in house to start to put that together.
Okay. So that's separate?
That's separate. Separate. So we're going to.
Phase two?
An appendix.
Okay. Appendix to the main report that's not done yet.
But you can probably throw away and then just do this last one.
I don't know.
No.
Where's George at? I don't want to be here.
Smart enough to be here.
Huh?
Yeah, smart family, enough to be here. Family illness that he's attending to.
Yeah. Take it easy on you.
So we just started to scope that out starting this week. So Lori will be working on it.
Good. I was going to bring out.
Basically going to be more of a hydraulic and a biological effort within our team.
So by biological, you mean you're looking at FGE effects?
Impacts, or trying to estimate something. We're kind of starting to formulate that, but we have to know what we're measuring it for. What we're trying to compare up against to any of the potential methods, how that affects for the flow control.
Flow control seems pretty straightforward to me, unless there's some structural issue that I'm not aware of, so then it comes down to how much.
Yeah, how much.
And if it's not enough that you would cause an impact on the gate placement, then the placement of the plate seems pretty easy and simple, straightforward. Then the only question left is what's the effect on FGE or project survival? And that's a bit of a leisure approach, but Am I thinking myself again, Tom? Is that a dated thing? Ouija board?
I think tea leaves, but yeah.
Okay, tea leaves is earlier or later?
But the reality, I'm not sure we care what the impact of FGE is at this project.
I agree. And I just don't know how much emphasis the Corps is going to put on that particular issue. Mm-hmm. And the reason that we all would be concerned is that if we do something that has a significant negative effect on survival, we're back to testing survival at the project for performance compliance. We don't want to be there. So we're going to have to balance that, look carefully at what the effect might be. If it's insignificant, then we're probably okay, but it's just a matter of trying to estimate what that would be. I think that's the right way to go, to tell you the truth. But I realize there are some impacts, or can be some impacts.
Are you guys looking at fixed flow control devices as well as adjustable?
Anything's on the table at the moment, because we have to go through the turbines, kind of look at a little bit what we percent there. How much flow are we going to reduce, and how we're going to do that. So that's part of our, we're trying to work our way through what we want to look at in hydraulic models. We'll probably use existing CFG models and existing data, but modeling data.
An idea that we were kind of thinking of, Gary kind of brought it up to me, is that if you could come up with, use a kind of an adjustable one to find the right pitch or whatever and then make it fixed, it would be a lot cheaper to do and easier to do and fall in a little better.
There's a lot of methods. I don't think right now we're ready, can't commit to or, can't suggest an alternative at the moment. But there's some that have worked out at John Day, the blade.
Yeah, McNary.
And McNary. Are there things that we can do?
There's the vertical, there's the VBSs too, potential for using the second slot.
And is there things that we can do with the existing, like turning vanes? Are there, do we monkey around with that a little bit to make it less flow directed? Or,
right now, make our mechanical engineers really work hard to come up with something that is velocity related.
Yeah.
Put more flow through it, lets more go past or lets more go up.
Right.
So there's a lot of ways we can point and go.
Louvers, a louver turning vane.
Actually, I would think it's, it'd be rubber. It'd be a rubber.
It would just deflect.
Yeah, but it may just be the gap closer to us.
Right.
Just modify that.
Yeah. So those are all out there on the table.
That didn't have as much of an effect, though, as the turning vane.
Exactly, but you might be able to bypass so much of the flow back through when the unit's up high. So the part of the issue of getting a better understanding of is that
it might
not make an effect on FGE. So it's trying to figure out, are you trying to reduce flow all the time, or can you put a device that works consistently? So right now we're just trying to figure out what the cue might be that you're searching for, and then how best might you accomplish it for the range of operations that you want to be able to operate that project at. But the gap closure device might be a great place to go accomplish what you're trying to accomplish. Maybe. But everything from a design perspective is on the table.
Okay.
It's just what type of flow reduction are we looking for at what operating. Can we help focus that? And then a design can follow.
Okay, well, the data we have should define that.
Mm-hmm.
The whole range.
Mm-hmm. Let's say the whole range.
No such range.
Yeah. Dennis, would you like to talk about the slot filler? Just to start, one of our action items from the last meeting was to set up a special fitter where we could look at slot filler plans, specifications, and talk about some of the concerns regarding its installation this year. And it is a proof of concept test to determine whether or not the diesel hydraulics that we think are the most significant, are playing an effect in how significant they are. Can we address that issue with fish testing and installation of this device? Dennis is
come with some information, and we're ready to field questions for concerns regionally. It's unfortunate that not as many people have shown up today. But,
you got the warm bodies you're normally getting.
Yeah, the couple that are most vocal are
Trevor.
Fire away.
Nobody listens to US Fisher.
Dave's got an
interesting.
Where is Dave?
He's got a short leash.
He's got the plug in the
office, and that's it.
No, people can actually share one for once. So there's only 1.4 now, 7.2.
There it is.
I think some of the sheets might be upside down or whatever. Ed, just quickly believe you want those on the conference call. So if you go to S401, that'll give you a kind of an isometric and an elevation view of what we're intending on building. Actually, what for now.
What sheet 401?
S401.
Yes, sir.
In the top and bottom view there.
Doesn't change much.
I'm not really familiar with what you guys know about this project.
Too much.
I'm sure you're aware that we're trying to reduce reduce the turbulence in the gate well. And this shape appeared to have the most benefit with the least amount of material.
I think everybody, at least the people, the agencies, Tom, you've looked at it pretty carefully, and we have, and we're familiar with the purpose and the intent and the general construction. The design hasn't changed much from what we looked at and reviewed. I think the concern I have still is the rubber flaps.
Okay.
The bottom one, I think, is going to be up against the top of the STS framework, so that shouldn't be such a problem.
Yep.
But the top one could deflect. It's just there in the flow. It's not above the gate wall surface.
It's not above the gate wall surface? What do you mean by
the water level?
The water level? Water surface?
Yeah. Yeah, not.
Right?
No. So it's below the water, so fish could and will encounter this. So I guess my biggest concern is getting fish behind this thing.
Okay.
Because the two concerns I have, I think we voiced, was one, getting fish behind it, and the other one is just the tracks and making sure that this thing can slide all the way down, all the way back up without being jammed in there and then getting stuck and having a problem.
Okay, well, I'll deal with one of those other time. The first one you mentioned, which was the flap. The rubber steel that we specified is a 50 durometer. And from our understanding, you're not familiar with what that feels like. So I have seals on the deck here. Flap.
Open here again. I was looking for samples there.
Yeah. I was waiting for you to smack him actually with it. This is 50. This is 20.
So you can play with those samples.
Which one do you want to get hit with?
So this is the one?
Yeah.
Pretty flat.
Yeah. I didn't get a warm fuzzy out of that.
That can deflect.
It's stiffer when it's cold.
What?
Jesus.
It's
right.
What did you say?
It's stiffer when it's cold.
Stiffer when
it's
cold.
Just get that.
Come on,
a whole new level.
It's true, though.
Is the top of this flap?
You're a little red.
Almost red as Trevor.
I'm glad next to you. It's embarrassing.
So, don't sit by it next to
me. Hey, you're the ones with the dirty minds.
Those are supposed to be 6.5 inches long.
Yeah.
How tall is it?
It's 20.
Oh,
gotcha.
How
about
60?
Even
more. I need some about the density of tires. Not that.
So the flow intensity of
the upper work.
Well, I mean, that's still about 4 inches or whatnot.
So why did you choose the 50?
Okay, so now that you guys have had a chance to play with those, we chose 50 because we need to make sure that it actually sealed off around the guide slots and the framework and the cables. So we were kind of at a point where we were getting kind of diminished returns, where it would seem like we would end up leaving a gap for fish to get into if it was too stiff, and then if it wasn't flexible enough to get around.
It almost has to be cut fit perfectly around all that stuff, which is very difficult to get to.
Especially
with the cables
being the problem. Right. So that's what we needed it to be pliable to get around those cables and the jewel. That's what we chose. We can make them stiffer. It's just that for what we gave the thickness.
I didn't see thickness in here.
Yeah, that might be in the spec. I have to go back and look at that spec. But it should be thicker than the because they, they make these drawers, and it's just the stiffness. So it's and I think what we had there was 3/8. I'll have to go back and look. I'll make sure.
What are we talking about? What thickness of
the thickness of the
seal.
For the seal.
If you had if that was 2 inches thick, right, that might be rigid enough to do what you need to, but
2 inches sticking out.
I'm saying it's just thick.
It's thickness
that way.
Right. So I think what we have specified is 3/8, but I need to go back and look. It's how it's almost like it's Bernil hardness test.
Okay, so it's the flexibility of the rubber itself. Yeah.
Right.
So those are, because they're all different thicknesses.
Right, exactly.
So I thought that's what you're talking about.
No. It's almost like a hardness
it's
test.
The it's the rubber test.
It's a rigidity test for rubber.
It's a rubbery test.
Right.
You can take wherever you want there.
Right. That's what it is. It's not even how smooth it is. Strictly speaking,
the sponginess, the gooiness, the
pliability, whatever you want to call it.
Right. Pliability.
So it's going to be thicker. What's this, 3/8?
I think it's 3/8.
Not a lot thicker.
So that's what that seal is right now.
3/16.
And we need to make sure that it's.
Is it 3/16 thick?
3/8.
High strength EPDM rubber. I'm looking at sheet.
The next one.
S-401. 6 by 3/16 inches thick.
Yeah, so it's even thinner than he has.
Yeah, is there going to be a stiffener on it or something?
No.
On the upside down 401.
It's on the TED circle one. It's on circle.
That's a different flap.
Oh.
That's not the same. That's the flap that goes. There was some concern about. There was some concern about the flap that went that covered the sides of it on the. I think the east and south side of the. Gatewell, and so we put a flap in there to cover that.
So it's going down the slot, there's some tolerance between the size of the slot and the size of the structure. So you put a flap there.
Section B. No, it is section B. Yeah. I was looking at that other detail.
But there shouldn't be any slots there.
This section is through this.
It is, he's right.
Rubber.
Section B. Yeah, he's right.
It's section B. Should have 401.
So yeah, so it has a call out.
Yeah.
So it's 3/16.
So 3/16.
So it is referring to this, which is.
But where is it?
Right. Top and bottom.
Section B.
Okay, well, that's the part we're talking about.
Right, yes.
Right. And it's only 316.
I thought he was talking about the, I thought he was talking about this detail right there.
Yeah.
Which is the one that I was talking about that covers
that's
the...
That's bristles.
Yeah, that's just bristles you're
right
up
that whole thing. That you guys wanted to put in there for the...
Okay, cover.
Yeah.
So we're thinking 316 is too thin, it's going to deflect, and fish are going to be in this box or something.
They think it's behind.
It's a top.
So here's the... Section B, which is an overhead view of the
this piece here.
Right, this piece here. So this is
what you go to section B before you're upside down. Yes. That gives you a detail of the rubber flaps, and it says it's 316.
So his is three, his is probably
3/4.
Yeah.
Quarter.
Yeah.
So it's going to be thinner than that.
So it's going to deflect.
And it's going to be 6 inches long, so it's going to be pretty.
Oh, yeah. It's going to flop all over the place. And then what was the one that you were talking about, the other flap?
Where's he's talking about the
bristles. Oh, I thought it was the
bristles.
Yeah,
bristles.
Yeah,
bristles.
Okay. Yeah, bristles.
That's the detail they called on the top. The American company.
The bristles, you can put bristles on the side.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's going to be the 1/2 inches.
So the, I see. So the guides are against the whole particular wall. Then this thing, instead of having a continuous guide, slides down in there. It is just every so many feet or so. There's 3 feet.
No, the guide is what's bolted to the wall.
Right,
and that's continuous.
What slides in there?
Our
which
feet
is a part of the
feet on the TRD.
See, I was thinking that was a solid. Instead of feet, there was a solid guide as well. So then you would.
It would be likely that it would bind.
I know. That's what I thought. I think one of the original looks we had, but it was a solid.
Yeah, maybe like the 60%. It's just easy to extrude the whole thing rather than space them out.
And so I thought, okay, there's no chance for fish to get through there since that's a continuous seal from top to bottom. Now there's 3 feet or whatever minus the thickness of that foot. There's a lot of space. This thing's going to have problems. You're going to have a lot of fish behind this thing at the end of the day.
Well, I don't. With the bristles there, how are the fish?
No, because those walls are not
straight.
Those walls,
right? Wow. And that's what the bristles are there for, to adjust for that.
Okay.
That
you're assuming
changing.
That those bristles will last for years and years and years.
No. For a month.
This is a I know, but this is a test for something that's going to be put in the future. Right?
That's not at all what this is. Not even remotely close. This is a design that we were trying to test the shape and trying to get it out as fast as we can, and doing it the best way that we could with the existing equipment that's installed and the existing cranes and everything else.
So you're saying that this whole design has nothing to do with the feature. It's just the hydraulic.
I would not recommend that this go in as a permanent installation.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
This is just testing whether the hydraulic offset.
Right.
Which is creating a turbulence issue is causing issues with gate well survivability. So this is just saying that if we eliminate that hydraulic offset, we've improved the survivability through that gate well. This is not a permanent design.
So your permanent design.
We would try to install something that would be
These are all alternatives and not a design.
Okay.
These are alternatives that we're trying to.
We understand that, but this is being billed as a test for hydraulics only. So then it would be carried to a design. Somewhere there must be a design concept of what this would look like in final production. Even though
that report showed the full length filler had the same results as this filler.
I really don't see the purpose of the report. I guess the
the alternative option is what I'm not saying.
They'll lose to four
this information will be beneficial no matter what road we go down, you know, whether successful or not. You know, when you're going to do something correctly with a device such as this, filling that void, or flow control for that matter, you know, and understanding how much of an impact that circulation is
right.
on.
No, I understand that. That's one question. But that's one of, I mean, I thought what we had was an alternatives report, was several alternatives to fix the problem. And then we have an addendum to that, which is going to look at a flow control device. That original report to me was a bunch of alternatives to fix the problem, including ice.
There's no permanent design for reducing the turbulence in the gate. There are concepts that we have addressed in the alternatives report. But there is no permanent design for that.
No,
we are testing this.
No, I'm not saying there is. Okay. I'm just saying that there is. This you have alternatives that you're going to put out there.
So it's
got to
fill the guide.
I thought this was one of them.
It is an alternative in the report as a concept. And what this is trying to prove is whether shifting that concept to a DDR phase where we actually design it is worth doing. And so in the DDR, we would take the concept, which because from a concept perspective, there's no gaps. The whole concept of going from the DDR is to eliminate those biological gaps. And so what we're trying to do now is say, this is a little bit outside of our comfort zone to assume this is actually going to work. Plus, it has some O&M issues that we're going to have to deal with in the long run as well. And so if it in fact improves the hydraulics in that gate well to the point that we can run a unit at high Q,
no,
we will
take
it.
I understand that. I just thought that the alternatives report was going to be a more filled out in the thing. Number of alternatives, including this one, but it sounds like really what we have is a stepwise process. You've got the hydraulic evaluation with a structure, and then who knows where we'll go.
I think what you're asking for is kind of a list of milestones of where this fits in.
Maybe I just got the idea wrong, but I thought that, you know, the alternatives that you had developed through the alternatives report were these alternatives, and this was one of them. At this point, those almost seem like superfluous because we have this process, the flow control device process. We kind of come up with two.
We're definitely not following our process.
Right.
Our process is very broken on this, number one. It's very broken. So we're trying to put things together and some things are leaps and bounds ahead of where they belong. This process is broken.
That's what I was saying.
However, during the process, there's been significant changes that we can, you know, use to come up with solutions. And one of those being, you know, the fact that we can operate without a backer screen and we have more real estate to work with there. You know, the idea of using something that's fixed rather than adjustable. You know, that puts other options back on the table.
Right. And it should be. I mean, I can see where I would just step back and say, okay, you've got maybe three options left that makes sense. This one, let's see where it goes. And then you have the backer screen idea, and you have the standard flow control device idea. And those are, they probably should come forward.
Right. And what I would expect, part of the goal with the analysis we want to do on the hydraulics now is be able to more quickly, as results come back from this, both the hydraulic results and the biological results, lay out the actual, I won't say this definitively, but more of a decision, we'd be able to have enough data where we should be able to be more quickly make a decision on a reasonable alternative.
Okay. Yeah, because this still scares me. I mean, notwithstanding the fact that this is a test device, this implementation of it, no matter how you do it, still has. Unless you're going to redesign the entire STS, and then we get to the cost. Because frankly, I haven't been this all about that. So
Or just take this thing up higher.
Take one. You could take it up higher, but I mean the sides of the
right.
The whole thing is going to be porous enough, but you're going to get fish in there. I know you will fry and everything else. Part of the fridge. Yeah.
The way our test plant's set up, you know, with in and out comparisons, we will. We'll be able to monitor it along the way.
Instead of using the rubber flaps, I mean, did you look at like a replacing that with brushes, long, stiff brushes?
No, we didn't look at using brushes.
I mean, that would be another.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't tend to fold up or.
They wouldn't deflect as much because they'd be porous. Of course, they'd be.
Well, it depends on the stiffness of the brush that you get, because you could easily get a brush that's too thin and it will. Deflect.
I mean, but if you did it right.
But if you do it right, you could get a fairly stiff bristle there that would that would seal in there and conform to whatever.
Yeah, unless they filled up.
And it wouldn't be a gap like one of it falling over. I don't know. It's different. It's a different way.
Fancy catchers.
The other thing is recognize we are taking this in and out, so we're trying to get it in and out to be able to do tests with it in and with it out. So there's a certain amount of sloppiness, so to speak, that is necessary for what we're trying to do right now. And a permanent solution would have none of that.
Right, but there's still the issue of being able to lessen the amount of the slot. So, you know, we are what they are, and if they are building new ones, it's probably prohibitively expensive at this point. So, get it to fit with an STS that needs to come in and out. I just don't want to send a guy under its own weight either. So, you know. It is the interesting about this design. We'll see.
But if we can get what we want with flow control, maybe that's a better answer.
Yep. I think it is. I think it is. You know, Tom says we're on the edge of the survival. Standard on this kind of on that right edge, but of course, if you fix the spillway,
we're all good.
So this job has been awarded. So keeping that in mind, and the fact that it would take a modification to change anything, and paying more money, what is it that you guys would have done then?
So, like, the way that rubber is right now, it looks like as you lower this thing in, it's going to come against the wall, it's going to bend that rubber.
Yep.
That's going to create a space behind it where fish can actually swim in.
No, it shouldn't contact, it should be getting very close, but not contact it.
So you're looking at so why make it rubber at all then if you're going to come?
Because the jewels that the STS go down on are quite large, and the stiffness of the brushes and the stiffness of using a brush could be problematic. It was easier to find something that was pliable in rubber than
on its way down. It's going to have to go around this thing and then certain thing.
Honestly, I think the bottom flap is probably the one that I'm least worried about. It's the one on top.
It's the top issue.
So that's why I'd say if you put the brush on the top, probably got the best slap together design you can come up with.
But you still have to get around that on the STS.
You still have to get around
top with the top one.
Even on the top one?
Yeah. Because there's three sets of them. There's three sets of jewels. That's how they get the STS out. There are 30-foot sections of cable.
I don't know what to exceed on this one.
I don't know. So, I mean, looking at this, you have these 2-inch, so they're like 6 inches long. You have these 2-inch cuts in there. It's going to be pretty floppy, especially with flow going in and out. I mean, how confident are we that those things are going to deflect and allow fish to swim in there? That's kind of our concern as fish get back.
Sure, no, I understand your concern. But we're still left with the design.
I don't understand why a brush wouldn't work, I guess. Is it because it's too long of a space for a brush?
No, I mean, they make very, very stiff Dyneema brushes.
Well, could you ask the contractor maybe if they could change that to a brush, what it would do, or something that you're more confident would keep fish out of the sand?
I'm not confident that a brush, because the the spaces between those and, yeah.
It's going to gap.
It's 9 foot or not? It's close to 10 inches from the edge of the its connection point and the wall. So as it goes around anything, it's going to cause a gap like this. Yeah. It's not going to be pretty and aligned.
Right, right.
There's going to be a gap there. You're going to deal with gaps regardless. And what we did here was the best we could do with what we were given.
So what is the thickness of that rubber now? Can we go around and around on that?
316.
I can make it thicker.
Let's get thicker on that.
We can make it thicker.
More thickness.
But I can't make it so thick that it's just not conformed to the...
Yeah, that's pretty rubbery stuff, though. Looks like it. Well, you're going to have problems with fish getting around that thing. But, of course, it's not about it. I know you will. Is the Gaywell full of fish? And all the hydraulics? Turbines?
No.
The turbines at the top of this should not be what it was before. The flow that goes by it takes the flow out. There is not the recirc like we had before.
That'll help.
So there should be no detention time at the top. But again, this is a proof of concept because we aren't sure what the hydraulic show of the CFD are going
to
be real.
They're swimming and looking for places to get out of this thing and out of the flow, and they'll end up in there. Just how many? So how often is this thing down for each test? How long?
It's variable, but you know they're roughly 4-day blocks.
So that'll be gone.
Well, they can be longer than that, yeah.
Some of your blocks probably get double.
I'd have to
look at Lyle's schedule, but it's, you know, they're in and out, and
the thing coming in and out. It's going to get to that. You know, 2 days behind it.
4 blocks.
But also on the other side, if we start to see something that's biologically, if we see during the
floaters,
we see stuff like that.
See, you don't want to mess. I mean, this isn't what you're testing. So you don't want this problem to screw up what you are testing. You're testing hydraulics.
Right.
You just told me this is an insignificant issue for the future, so you don't want this to stop the test. But from an ESA standpoint, if you're taking too many fish, you'll stop the test. And
it will stop the test.
You'll lose your data point. So we don't want to do that.
We should have physical velocity measurements with the TRD in
14A
versus 15A, which is going to be extremely valuable prior to significant numbers of fish.
So then we'll have to decide as we go through the season whether or not
we should be able to pull up on that.
Hydraulics. I don't know what we'll see.
I guess we could try to tell them to put brushes in there with it, and maybe between the brushes and the rubber, maybe they could close up the caps. I don't know.
The question is what kind of criteria are we going to have to determine what is fish? Is it the circulation in the deep well? Is it the flow through the?
I think what we're trying to do is to get.
Don't we have to do biological testing to determine how the magnitude, of the problem that we're trying to address here and how that?
See that what if you're killing fish behind this thing for 4 day periods? You really only want to test the hydraulics, and survival. The VBS, I understand that, but if what we've seen in the CFD is true, what you're trying to test is that, is that true, the way that flow changes? And
well, I think that there's another piece of that, which is, does it reduce detention time? It's not just, are our flows and our velocities what we thought they'd be because of the CFD? But if we can improve the flow, does it also reduce the detention time?
Retention.
We streamline those centerline velocities up the gate, or can we get the fish from the bottom to the top?
And where the goal safe? Here should be to get to back to hydraulics that we had with Bowler and the middle of 1%.
Okay.
Operation. I mean, that's what we're after, is that kind of hydraulic.
I think there are two things there's a tremendous amount of hydraulic information and benefit we're going to get with the hydraulic test that's going to occur at the beginning. The benefit of doing the biological test is telling us whether the large-scale hydraulic turbulence that's caused by that offset is the driver, or is it just the volume of flow going up here and the fact that the fish, which may not be feeling that large-scale turbulence, they obviously they're feeling something. So part of the reason to try and get an answer, I think, from a biological perspective, and the reason to do the highest flow with those things down first, is do we actually not? It's possible it's the velocity that's causing us the problem. It's truly cute. In this large scale, the fact that you have this flow instability, hydraulic instability caused from that offset, it's been there. We're doing fine as long as you drop that cue, and they don't really care. And right now, if we could get a data point on that.
No, I understand.
I think we'd be fine with the test as long as this thing isn't killing fish.
I see the need for the test, but you have a confounding issue here.
Yeah. Yes. Using the data difficult,
false,
and we may only get one day of testing because you may pull it up and you say this isn't working.
Or you get fish that are injured by the apparatus that have nothing to do with hydraulics and kind of test.
But I would think the injuries that they would see down in the facility would be a little different. I would hope. Yeah. Maybe not. You're right. We have that risk, but right now, can you guys tell me if it's Q or if it's turbulence? And I don't have a clue.
Okay, so what we'll do then is I will get with Small Projects and have them direct the contractor to put brushes in, as well as the flap. I don't see that the
double it up.
Well,
that might work.
Let's just if that's really the concern, we're only going to do it on the top though, because the bottom rests on the.
You don't need to do the bottom.
Right. I'm just saying. I just want to be absolutely clear here. So that's what we'll do is we'll direct the contractor to put the brushes on top with.
Just make the things so fish aren't getting through it.
So as best as you can. That'll minimize that potential issue.
There's really not much else we can do.
Well, that was my only concern, other than now I'm a little concerned about the size, but we'll just have to see how that works out.
But we try to address your concern with those brushes that we put on the.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, before there was no way. Yeah, when you had a continual connection all the way down, there was no way fish are going to get behind this thing. Now we can. As long as those brushes maintain contact, we're good. If they get screwed up with debris, gets logged, gets, stuff gets jammed.
Brushes seem good. Do you like the brushes, Ed? Yeah, they seem all right.
Okay.
I wouldn't want them on a permanent solution.
No.
Nope.
Yeah.
But for a 4-week test, they should be fine.
And again, we're not trying to. The project doesn't want to deal with this thing, and we don't want to give them something that they don't want to install. So this is only for that single test.
I guess is there a way you can make sure those side brushes actually contact the concrete?
Yeah, they're supposed to adjust them.
Can you run a camera down there and look at that?
No, it's a dry run. They have to dry run it and test
okay.
it.
Then they can test to make sure that they're...
Yeah, it's all part of the test fit.
Yeah, that'll help.
So they're going to install and take it out on in the dry.
Okay.
So if they're going down there, are they going to dry fit it before they water it up and use it and test it hydraulically?
Yeah, they have to test it.
So they can make sure that top is sealed correctly too, then, couldn't they?
No, because you're going to have head on it.
Oh, okay.
Well, actually, there's no differential head. It's only dynamic, right?
So,
and it would be very little. And anyway, so we'll put the brushing in there too. It will not. It's not gonna. That's not that big of a cost, but we do have to tell them now.
Is there any diagram in here on the side brushes?
The only spot is on S401. It's that little magnification at the top middle of the page.
Yeah, but no, I'm just trying to figure out which way, what part of the wall if you, in the gate well is that, do those push against us? Is it the
back and west.
Front wall?
Yeah,
front
and back. Oh, it's east and west. I don't know what your front back is, but east and west.
East and west, yeah.
Forebay and tailwater side.
Yep. Okay.
So how much tolerance is there from the total width of this thing to the width of the slot? What's the difference in
You mean the gap between?
Yeah.
Them? Okay.
So I'm wondering how big these brushes are.
Yeah, the gap is like 3/4 of an inch or something. Would it be? Or no, it's it's about 2 5/8 of an inch.
Total?
Yeah.
So the brushes are an inch and 3/4.
So the
no less than that.
Brush and a half.
Well, the
inch
actual
quarter.
Brush piece of it is about a little over an inch.
Okay.
That's it.
Yep.
Okay. That's just
a little bend to it, and they're probably fairly wide too.
Yeah, and I'll try to instruct them to. I'll have to go back. I don't know what this BCN. What would that? I mean, I know what it means, but I don't know how it feels. That 0.018 BCN. I'll have to go back and feel how the. We may do something that's slightly lighter, so we can make them. Longer, maybe by 1/8 of an inch longer, so they
rub against the
actually
concrete.
Kind of drag.
Yeah, up they should drag a bit.
Right. Yeah, right.
Stiffen a little bit too. Okay. Best you can do.
Okay. And then there seemed like there was one other thing that you wanted. We were talking about the flap, and then is there anything else you wanted?
No, it's the sides. It's the top flap and the sides were the main issues, and then just think. The guide itself, but
do you guys want to see these things before they, you want to see them when they do their test fit? We have to notify everyone that there's a lot of other people who want to see this thing, so I don't know if you guys want to be notified too. We won't change the date if you can't make it, but we'll try to give you some notice
In March.
I think that's when the test
is.
Yeah, March.
Yeah, let us know.
Okay, so I'll just be in touch with John and.
We can be out there, see it, that'd be good.
Yeah, it'd probably be this, I imagine the test fit, would be second week of March-ish.
Okay. I'll plan my inspections for that day.
And then maybe your eyes can help us keep from killing fish if there's something that you see right away.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you guys have for me?
We're done.
You left.
That's it. Thanks. Come in late, leave early.
Yeah.
I like that. Thanks.
Yeah,
thanks, guys.
I'm ready to leave too.
So,
I'll serve that motion.
These two are
here. John, come do it. I can do it.
John,
I just want to throw in real quick here, as far as studying and SRWG comments, I plan on drafting up something in writing, and we'll have further discussion on that.
Well, John, when you fix that way, you're hard to hear, so you need to talk up.
I plan to put core comments in writing to the NOAA comments that we received during the SRWG process for the 3 proposals.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
That was
easy. Is there, unless there's something of significance you guys want to talk about right now? It's
covered.
I don't necessarily
SRWG level stuff.
No,
just we talked about the treatments and the lights and all that. So keep it simple.
Yeah.
Lights. See what that you want. item, which is
two orifices.
The orifices, and that's where the lights come on. They're all connected to lights. It all is.
Future studies at GE and orifice will be together. And we are also just kind of waiting on 100% draft for an ATR review. Then if we test it with a TRE, we got the internet on board to take the McNary light, modify it.
You know, we have a treatment set up to test the TRD on its own, biologically.
Mm-hmm.
We have a treatment set up to test the TRD with the light. We all agree that the light alone probably isn't going to solve the problem. However, we saw a benefit at McNary with a lighting improvement. With a TRD and a lighting improvement, you know, that magnitude of effect of the lighting may be more substantial and additive. And therefore, when we get to where we need to be in Gatewell with a boat. So there's value to it. One, and you know, collecting the information while we have Lyle and company out there, and then two, you know, the rate at which we're going to solve this problem is going to be faster potentially.
We've talked. I would not test the lights in any way, shape, or form.
I'm personally with John. I'm like, I want to know the effect of the lights just for future reference myself.
I'm not going down that road. But. So,
but we have both treatments, put the lights out. In.
So the reason you don't want to go down the road is because you don't want it to be like, the lights are the solution, let's just do the lights and be done with it.
I don't
want to
waste fish. I don't see that it's a waste fish.
You know, it's horny.
But if it wasn't natural origin fish?
These are wild fish, that's what you have to test. You have to test the, not wild, but
run of the river.
It has to be river run fish to get a valid test. And I don't see the need to do it. I just don't see the value. I just put them in. I mean, the whole point from an orifice standpoint was to modify that ring. And the lights were going to give you a beveled ring to work with. That was a good thing. Okay, do it. We need the lights that actually reach the gate well. The current ones don't. These will do it. So, to me, you just do it.
It's so, you're not concerned about confounding the results, though?
That's what my concern is. Like, this hypothetical situation, like, okay, we do the biological test on the slot fillers. And it comes up as a significant improvement.
Leave them out.
Leave what out?
The lights. You want them in or leave them out, one or the other. But do your tests with the slot fillers, either one way or the other. Either with the lights in or with the lights out. If you're concerned about confounding the study with the lights in, then just test the slot filler. That was the idea in the first place, was to see that slot filler.
We need to test the slot filler with no change in lights, because otherwise we're not comparing apples and apples to the previous condition. So we at least have to do the slot filler with the existing configuration on that on the orifice.
The light.
The light. Right. Has to be the same. At least
that.
One of them.
Yes.
That has to be the case. Otherwise, we are not comparing, we're not knowing the slot filler results. I'm sorry.
Right.
So
that's true, although I don't anticipate the lights to be in kind of slam dunk charge.
I don't either, but I don't want any doubt.
Right, exactly. We have an opportunity to collect a lot of information and piecing CFD, physical measurements in the ANC slots, everything over the years together. And looking forward, you know, as far as implementation and where to go and how significant each gate well might be to the problem.
Recognizing that the flow of the C slot is very similar at the high flow to what the slot flow up the A slot
right.
is. So
but I mean we're after a full characteristic here.
Right.
Anyway, that's what we're trying to do.
Right.
So we don't
either.
What I don't know, I haven't heard anybody say that C slot is okay at the high end of 1%.
I don't absolutely
know. Nobody said that.
Right. Have a great day.
But you tell me that. I'll ask for
something. See you later.
So we got it.
Well, according to the CFD, there's a difference. And we're going to get physical velocity measurements and hopefully validate some of this. Piecing it together with biological testing and knowing the benefit we get from light and maybe you know, we're going to have a light improvement in the seaside.
Where are you going? It's not an engineering problem.
That right? Is.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Come on. Put the lights in. Put the lights out. Put the lights out.
You want to talk brushes? I'll talk brushes.
You want Noah lights in?
No, I get to be the tiebreaker.
I'm
really leaving now.
Get back in here.
You want to have brushes or rubber flaps or hydraulics? No, fine, let's go.
Well, this is hydraulics. I mean, part of it is.
No, it's not.
Oh, yeah, we were
gonna... C-slot versus A-slot versus B-slot. That's hydraulics.
It is.
There's an additional treatment with rubber flaps.
I'm starting to think that we don't need the whole biological test at all.
No,
it's giving me a headache.
Even long term, no matter what alternative we go with, the biological testing will be valuable, you know, for, you know, implementing across the powerhouse. Considering the differences between A and C slot and where our problems lie.
You're talking a different purpose now.
I'm planning. I'm looking into the future, you know, trying to think of everything that we can do while we have Lyle out there in the field. And we have a contract in place.
Well, yeah, and I'm not going to go down the road of testing everything. I mean, the problem is we're using river run fish. We're using fish that we're supposed to be protecting here. So,
but ultimately, aren't we going to protect more fish if we can get to a,
well, I think
a gate well that's hospitable for passage as well as a turbine unit operation at the upper end of 1% that's also the most hospitable for passage?
We know from the studies we've done what's safe. Done. So you can use that hydraulic environment as your goal.
That's pre-FGE improvements.
Well, no, with FGE improvements. We know what we know at the midpoint. We know the hydraulics.
The lower end.
Mid to low.
Mid to low. And that's what that C slot. You know, representation in the CFP modeling seems to show a high end. It's acting hydraulically like the A slot at the mid to low. Therefore, if you outfit, you know, your A and B slots with a fix of whatever that may be, is it necessary to, you know, go down the road of C slots? If, you know, if you have a lighting improvement, that
that's,
may,
that's
that
a whole other question. I mean, we were talking lighting, and now we're talking C slot. Whether you put a fix in C slot, that's a separate issue. I mean, that's you deal with them one at a time.
But then
if
we're
thinking that the hydraulics are fine in C slot. That's we no. I'm talking about what we're going to test this year.
Okay.
And each item needs to be part of the, that, you know, a separate discussion. If you're talking C slot and whether you need to test C slot against A slot with fix, that's a bit of a discussion.
Well, we had in our one pager, you know, the velocity testing work in A and C slot. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this before.
Right, right. But that's a different issue.
Uh-huh. But it's all part of the collecting the data to be able to pull everything together and link it,
right?
I see it as valuable while we're there.
Right, that's my opinion. Well, why can't we finish the discussion about the lights first? I thought we were talking about lights.
Okay.
We are, and lights are relevant
to
interpreting the results.
To, yeah, to getting results for our powerhouse, you know, where we...
It's driving me nuts.
Okay, let's start over.
Let's talk about one issue at a time here. Talking about lights, we're talking about whether we want to do that in the A slot or B slot, and with the slot filler in, slot filler out, lights on, lights off, lights in, lights out. That's one side of it. The other side of it is whether you do C slot versus A and B slot with the filler in, filler out. Right?
Yeah.
So there's two different treatments here that we're talking about.
Well, the only TRD treatment is going to be in the A slot.
Right. But hydraulically, with fish, you want to test C-slot with whatever you come up with A or B, to see if they're similar.
Not with fish.
Not with fish. No,
hydraulically.
With fish. I don't care
what
you're talking about. Hydraulically. We're measuring velocities in C-slot.
Yeah. So, great.
Fish on that part.
That's not a question.
Yeah, that's a hydraulic test.
So now we're back to measuring lights. Survival in a slot. Slot fillers in,
and
slot
fillers out.
That was the intent of the entire program.
Well, we've got the test surfaces program as well.
That's a different program. The point was that we were going to test those slot fillers and whether or not they worked hydraulically and biologically.
Right.
That was the intent of this whole thing. Step one.
That's right. That's one of the.
That was the intent to test that.
And they're doing that.
And,
so
and let's
doing
do that.
That.
Let's
yes.
do that.
But no change to the orifice.
That's
so
fine.
That we can still
that's
look
fine.
At data when previous data at the middle. We've said that the mid-flow range and low-flow range for the turbine, we have acceptable gate well
right.
conditions.
Right.
I want to be able to compare this high flow where we actually physically go out and get a high flow.
Right.
I
sense.
Want to be able to do that
right.
without knowing there's a variable that may
okay.
not have any impact, but I don't want any. I
right.
want to make sure
no.
it does.
Got it.
No light.
Got it.
No
got
change.
It.
No
light.
The
light is going to be removed. It's on tracks for that test.
I want results at least with the existing that we had in our previous studies. I need results with that. May have no impact. But I don't want a variable
see,
that's going to cloud the issue.
And I don't agree with the lights on the track part of it either, because I looked at that and I thought, well, that's got no bearing on the condition that we were trying to establish with these new lights, which was a difference in the hydraulics.
Well, PNL tells me that there's promise in working with that to
okay.
help improve the jet. And keep in mind,
see, that's what I don't
keep in mind that the you know, the observations made pre-G and pre-configuration that we have now on orifice jet performance by the operator, being it's on and off, jets perform better, you know, when there's not as much disturbance in the gate well, it appears. And there's also the other factors, the tube length and the air support base of the jet.
Mm-hmm.
Looking
all
at observations
changed.
This year, you know, when we have unit 18, you know, running at the low end due to debris on the VBSs, we saw orifices that never performed well clean up and perform well on C slot. So there's some threshold there. We have orifices at the powerhouse that perform well, some that don't. There's a condition there that's, you know, the tipping point for poor orifice performance. It's possible that whatever we do with the lighting, considering shaping, adding air support and fixing or improving gate well hydraulics may help to clean up that jet.
Right, right. I understand that. But the what we looked at least what I remember from the light rings discussion was a beveled light ring set in. Actually, not so much bevel, just set in.
We did.
The wall. And
yes.
that set in was a hydraulic benefit. Setting these out on tracks to me has nothing to do with that. I mean, it doesn't test that at all. All it tests is the light. The light's there or not there. It doesn't test the orifice change. And I don't believe that those lights, just the lights themselves, are going to make enough of a difference. Just do it.
Do what though? When it comes to the alternatives. When you talk about long-term implementation across the powerhouse and having something embedded in the concrete, you know, we're talking about taking units down, you know, for extended periods of time, significant concrete work, and an O&M consideration, you know, that needs to be factored into this discussion as well.
And then don't put it in, whatever. And it's a simple thing to do. Yeah, you'll have to do it when each unit comes down and you have time to do it, but it seems to me that that's a very simple, you don't need to study this, just do it. We've already studied it in other places. We want light in those orifices, in those gate wells. Right now we have a crummy system that is spider crusty system that gets nothing in
yes.
the gate well. So let's try to at least get lights
spiders.
That work. That we don't have to worry about burning out on us because they're LEDs. I realize inside the gate well they're going to be tougher to maintain because they're you know, hard to get to location.
We've
got to
field test something with an acrylic lens, LEDs,
and then put them in a gate well out there. But I don't see
We don't have time this year to do something.
I don't see
the entry 7 being down. It's
put
in
a separate.
I mean, regardless of that, you put the light on tracks in the separate gate wall.
If you want to test them for the, you know, for longevity or whatever. I am not going to support testing lights with fish. Again, that's the part that we've talked about.
Even if the end result with the additive effect of lighting, at least on McNary,
that's great. I'll take
where we need to be.
I'll take it. It's a good idea. But we fix those hydraulics first.
We want to rely on.
See, now I'm starting to understand that the Corps wants to use the lights to fix the problem. And that's not what I.
It can be helpful.
It could be helpful, but I'm saying, fine, take that. But let's fix this problem from the hydraulic standpoint first. And you can put those lights in later. I think that's a great thing to do, but put them in later. Just put them in. That's sort of a no-brainer to me. You just do it. But if you're saying we can't do it until we have the biological benefit of that, then I'm saying, oh, just
no, I think I get it. I think the lighting improvement is assumed to go in, and we're not saying we're going to do it based on the biological benefit. What we're saying is there's an additive biological benefit potentially with a TRD and a light installed in the gate.
I don't think it's going to make that difference. I think you're going to have to, it may be additive, but to get over the line of what's of a condition in the gate well that's good for fish, that's a hydraulic issue. You do that first, add the lights later, take the additional benefit to the bank, which you will. And down the road, that'll be a benefit for recovery of salmon. But I don't see it as a need to, I don't see that you need additional information on the installation of those lights biologically in order to move forward with this program. That's what I'm saying. And if it means we have to do separate treatments, it complicates the studies. Lori doesn't want the lights in because it complicates the results of the slot fillers. Then don't do the lights. Do them later. Do them when we install the final production. We're going to go in there again, though. It won't be C slot, A slot, makes no difference to us, especially. And, slot fillers do. I understand that. But you'll get at that with hydraulic information. One's the same as the other, filler in, filler out, and they're identical.
So great. We know it's both.
That's great.
That's
a big piece of information. We're done. We only need two per, so at least modifications for two gate wells, not three per unit. That's great. That's a whole different thing. It's based on hydraulics.
And you may find out that it's not.
Yeah, and then the length of biology will be the fish in the A slot.
The two things that we need to find out is if it's Q or the hydraulic offset. That's what we need to find out with this test that we're going for. We're going to know hydraulically what happens, but I'm not going to know biological impact
right.
unless you test it.
You'll get that. You'll get that in the A slot. So there, the cleanest study is A slot with slot fillers, no lights, no extra other stuff.
And without.
And then without.
Right.
And then hydraulically linked and by inference, biologically linked for C slot.
Right.
You answer both those questions, you can move ahead with a alternative that could work. Not saying that is the alternative because it may still be
gates
or DBS modifications, flow control device or whatever, but not sufficient.
You may still need the gate slot filler but a reduction in Q. What you may start to see is that now instead of being
got it.
At the high Q, we may still need to reduce the flow up the gate slot. But then it could be a permanent change to the turning vane or that gap slot, to the gap closure device.
Yeah, well, those are alternatives to get to
the same. But that's what we don't know right now. Right. We don't know which is the, I don't, you all may, I do not.
No, we don't know. We don't know. Well, we know that it's probably fatigue related and it has to do with the hydraulics in the gate wall. That's all we know.
Yeah, but I don't know what's driving
which
those bad hydraulics.
Hydraulics.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's probably both, but I don't know relatively what's important.
And the velocity versus turbulence. Those are it, right. So I guess that's get back to the. I'm done. go eat that bad.
John's point is just that lighting is also a factor. It's not probably not a driver, but it's also a factor that could be influencing performance. And
I agree with that 100%.
And this is an opportunity to do
I don't test. Agree with the testing. Yeah. I don't think that it's that much of a difference. So what I would fully support is the Corps moving forward with new lights for those beam wells based on the work that we've done at other dams. And I think, and based on the fact that the lights that we have there do nothing for us. So lighting helps. Lighting at Bonneville isn't really lighting. So let's achieve that, lumens, that lux with the new system. But I don't see us saying, gee, what is that? Is that going to get us over the line or not? I don't see that
as... And now I'm not familiar with the alternatives report and kind of the whole direction of how this ties together because I'm just not engaged in it. But in terms of documenting decisions in the future, I guess what you're saying is just you're putting in the lights and just assume that there's this benefit based on what we've learned at McNary.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And
factor that in future reports.
Well, I mean, I talked with Lyle a bit about this, and he says that the test is, he's really concerned about the complexity of the test and the various alternatives. Cutting out the light part of it reduces that complexity and makes the test easier to do. And the driving goal here is to get that hydraulic test done. That I don't want to endanger in any way, shape, or form.
No.
Get that done. Adding complexity to it, adding potential failure to it, and adding more fish to it, which I don't think there's a great benefit for that. We have to answer to that. No one does. We don't want to assign more fish to studies than we have to.
Right.
We have a lot of studies out there that want fish assigned to them. So we have a limit there. We need to be careful with that. So I just don't see the value doesn't rise. So I can see that there would be value, but I don't see that there's enough of a value there to rise to the level that we need to put those fish through that additional testing. That's my final point on it, I guess. Yeah. You guys think that there's really, really, really a need there, but I just don't see it. I just don't see it for the lights. I've been down the lights and sound routine too many times in the past. You get too excited about that. But, I really think that light ring and its modification on the orifice hydraulics, maybe it's ancillary, but it's still a benefit. I see that as something that we should be looking at. But that's hydraulic stuff.
The one
that's just cleaning up that. In our response on the orifice, the one thing that we did say at the end of it all, after looking at all the stuff that we talked about, I thought, screw it. I mean, it's just too expensive down the road. And you put this out to the region, they're going to go look at it and go, you're going to spend what on that? Forget it. So my backup from all that was, let's just make sure we can look at them. Let's just make sure that we can make sure that they're not full of debris.
And this lighting should,
all I care about,
should illuminate that jet.
That'll
such
help
as,
a lot.
Such as the sun directly overhead. You've seen that.
I have. I've looked at it for 20
and having that inspection port.
So
there's another issue, though. I mean, it hasn't really been discussed too much, and that's the Gilchrist work that showed that when he operated two orifices in the gate well, there was a huge improvement. And it seems to be a fatigue issue. I know.
Bring that up.
But there seems to be a fatigue. Well, I'm a strong believer that they should. I have to speak my mind, too, There's a fatigue issue there. And it seemed that when they ran two orifices, those fish were able to find the orifice easier because the mortality rates were really low when they ran two orifices. So that tells me that there's the potential there that having this lighted orifice is actually going to be a significant improvement because those fish are able to find that orifice a lot easier.
Yeah.
And
that's been our thinking.
I would like to see that, I'm just curious, So, I mean, I agree that going down that road solely is ridiculous smooth. I think that you're
solely,
100%
yes.
right about
solely,
that.
Solely, yes.
But I think versus that 1,000 fish that it's going to take, which is going to equate to, 900 of those fish are actually going to survive the sampling event, so maybe 100 die over time. You're talking about one adult fish, that's going to be caught in the net in no time. I'm not too concerned about that for the information that you would get to know that, hey, that was the issue. It was they weren't able to find those orifices. That's my particular viewpoint. I don't know.
I think one of the things you've got to really watch out, though, for is when you add that second orifice.
I'm not saying to do that.
No, I'm just saying that's evidence for the procedure. But you're comparing when they open that second orifice relative to the visual clue of that one orifice. There's one thing to really remember with the hydraulics in this gate well, especially when you open that second orifice. Flow's coming up, and it's easy. But you're still going to have flow coming up, and now they've got to get over to this distance over here. And they're swimming against all the hydraulic conditions we've created in this gate well. So it's...
That's why I say it's a combination.
It's that second orifice has some really amazing... the retention time stuff we've looked at when you add that second orifice in there is mind-boggling. Uh-huh. Absolutely mind-boggling. And I'm just not convinced a second year an improved lighting is going to significantly buy what you're losing by not being able to open that second orifice.
No, that second orifice would be, I mean, we've proven it. It would be the answer if we can run the water out of there.
I'm saying.
Not the answer, but better. Not the answer, but better.
It reduced mortality back to comparable with the...
It was still more, though. Yeah.
But it was a big improvement.
It was much more. I mean, statistically, it's not. So.
But you have the adult fish concerns, and we cross
that one. Well, it isn't going to happen. I mean, you can't do it. You cannot do it without totally cutting and rebuilding the
budget. The dollars you have to expend are so large.
We would be not worth it.
Unless you went with a smaller orifice, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe three orifices.
You're not helping.
1 million.
But it's just that recognize that second orifice is very different than good lighting.
No, I was just saying from the perspective of finding the entrance. And maybe it wasn't that they were finding it easier, that they were just able to flow into it. Maybe that's true too.
Yeah.
But personally,
no lights. No stinking lights.
1,000 fish.
That's a lot of fish.
Do you two need a moment alone?
We've had the same discussion. This is one that we disagree on.
I've died over 1,000 fish. Over a lot less than that.
They're not all going to die. They're going to be MS.
They're all going to die. You're going to handle every one of those poor things. You rub the slime off them, and there'll be a bunch of them die, and then the rest of them will die in the river. Mortality would be 100%. Put it. No, I tell you what, all night.
Yeah, we wouldn't get any of the six adults back.
I don't see. Well, that's why we don't get a lot of pithing adults back. There is a bit of it. I believe John Williams.
Have you put that in as a comment for the pit plan?
Yeah.
Let's not go there. So, I don't know where we are here, but
I think.
Well, I'm deferring to you. I'm just.
You guys can do all
my first comments.
We'll agree. We have to have a critical comparison of high-end TRD installed existing lighting versus low-end, and versus high-end no TRD. No TRD versus TRD, high-end. We need to have something to look at comparatively at the low end as well. So existing gate well.
Mid range.
At the least.
Do you?
No.
No? I mean, you're trying for the one-shot solution here. I don't think you're going to find it. Again, the test here is to test TRDs in, TRDs out. Did TRDs resolve the issue? And the what you're testing against is good survival. We all know what that is. Low mortality, you've seen in the bypass facility, you give it every day. In season, same day, all the rest of the powerhouse. Against what you get with the high end, slot filler in, slot filler out. The idea is the slot fillers fix the problem. All right. That's the idea.
I don't know if they fix the problem or they get us, I would anticipate, I would hope, that they would get us a fair distance there. I would like to see something that's 80% there. I think we still have too much queue, personally. I'm just looking at the velocities when we run it at the 17.6.
So do you think that we would actually build slot filler, however that would be done, which is a big question in my mind, cost-wise, and a flow control device, or would we just go down the road of a very simple, probably, flow control device and forget the slot fillers if they didn't work slam dunk? I don't see us building those and a flow control device.
From a project perspective, I would say that we don't want slot fillers.
Right.
I think that, but...
You can modify the screens, though, with some sort of piece-by-piece thing. I don't know how else you would do it. You'd have to have smaller screens, or you'd have to have screens with a frame that basically goes all the way to the top of the gatewell or someplace.
I think the other thing is recognize if it's the hydraulic instability that's caused by that offset, is there a way to put a ramp in there? Recognize the velocities are coming by. Unfortunately, it needs to be 1 to 20. So if you could come off with something that just came up, it's a 12-inch offset, 1 to 20, means you're coming up so ever many inches.
Why don't we build a model and run down that road with a 1 to 12 model? Can we do that?
Because we already screwed up when we built the 1 to 12 model the first time.
Yeah, I know.
We didn't put the damn offs. They're not in the, they've never been in Erdix models either.
All I'm saying is, why don't we have a 1 to 12 model where we could test that?
That may be what we have to do.
At the end result. I'm just saying, I don't know that I see benefit in testing this system, the slot fillers, in and out against another gate well or any other operation. We've already done that. We've done the other operations. We did that 2 years of bio studies. We got an idea of what's going on there. We got an idea of the biological response to that. What we don't know is whether these slot fillers will resolve the issue or not.
Right.
I think they need to resolve the issue. I don't think they should be a partial fix.
Well, and
I think
would,
they need to resolve it.
If they could,
otherwise you wouldn't do it.
As a permanent solution, you're probably
you're learning right. Something from it. I know that,
right.
And that's
right.
Good. I'm
right.
Not taking that away. I'm thinking though that the next step of learning probably got to be in a model and not so much, you know, testing ramps and things like that.
Oh no, and I think that by the time we actually go to the field, it would be what a permanent solution was and
right. Right.
Yes.
The full.
But I'm concerned that the reality is we've identified a hydraulic issue that were created with these STSs in the first place. I don't believe that in all good conscience, I can't at least, if we're going to be modifying the STSs, fix it a little bit. We may not need a 100% fix.
Yeah.
I can't live with this 12-inch offset hydraulically. That's stupid.
Yeah, and that makes sense to go
ahead. It's hydraulically stupid.
You would almost fix that anyway. Then.
That's my point. Yeah. But if it doesn't fix it entirely, then we will come up with something that minimizes that instability.
Yeah.
We
and
have
that's,
to.
That's a good thing to do anyway, even if you do it.
And we were hydraulically stupid to do it the first time.
Is that the case with John Day?
It's
the
absolutely SGSs. Every single one. And no, we never modeled them with the offsets in them when we modeled them. I've gone through every Erdic model, every AE model we've done. I've got all the model results now from Walla Walla. We've all done it. We just got so hemmed up in that actual width that we forgot these slots are huge. And we just
turn the thickness of the frame or the rest of the else. Yeah.
Sorry.
Or whatever we SPS.
So we have them everywhere, every place we have them. And the same thing at B1 when we had them in B1. So we just have this hydraulic instability. Now, You don't get the cues. You look at McNary, the velocity is so much smaller coming because of the actual volume through the unit. It takes these 17 really large cues to get much turbulence moving too high up in the slot.
Uh-huh.
So the issue is John Day would, should be bad.
Yeah, should be.
Yeah.
Stall.
Mm-hmm. And we actually, when we, and I haven't looked at it, but this, the...
a lot more area.
The John Day turbine model, we have the offset in it. And I just never looked at the data. But the model was built with the offsets in.
Are you thinking the offsets aren't in the Bonneville second powerhouse, one in 25 model?
In the turbine models?
Yeah.
That's different than the sectional models.
Right.
Well, we did all the work on the VBS stuff wasn't in a turbine model.
No, I understand that. I'm just thinking the model that we have down there. Could that be used in some way to help?
And I don't know if it is or isn't. It almost has to be because they put the STSs in basically the same way. So the slots almost
right,
have to be there.
Right, they slide them in there, yeah. We get, they have to be there. Slots right size and they'll be there on that. Okay. Well.
But our 1 to 25 Gatewell model work before didn't have slots.
Got it. That's the answer.
No.
Was that
even the ones that we did down at Erdic, but without the turbines in.
Way back.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you're in charge of the meeting.
Well, we,
where are we?
Karen and George, and you know, we'll talk about this and with Brad. And,
okay. Yeah. I mean, this, all I'm saying is let's keep our eye on,
no,
on, we understand on what we're trying that. To get, the answer we're trying to get here and move forward, and how it's going to fit into the future. I understand the C-slot completely, and that's good. Yeah, no problem with that. I'm just stingy with fish, and want to make sure that what we learn is, you know, we're trying to learn a piece to move us to the next step. You get that. I don't want to get too much further than that. The rest of it, I'm just going to expect you guys to put in the business of cars. Or Lori will fix the problem with the spillway and don't worry about this powerhouse if you change the spins.
I want a new spillway.
Survival will be so high that it won't matter if we lose a few percent.
We do. We want a new spillway. And it won't have vertical lift gates.
I want a hydro combine.
Yeah. No, that's not on my list.
That's item 18 on the agenda.
I'm calling Blaine Everett. He's the guy who put that in my head.
So the last piece of business is that
next meeting.
So starting on Tuesday, I will be temporarily leaving Doug behind to do a detail backfilling for Brad Eppert, who is essentially just helping him out while he's assuming both his role as well as the section chief role. Duties to be determined. So I'll be much more involved in this part of the process. But I'll still be doing the fish passage plan, so I'll have all that responsibility and seamless. But so
meet the new Brad Eppert.
Yeah.
So Tuesday we'll talk about the treatments we had outlined.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Good.
Cool.
Yeah. So I'll start that on Tuesday, and it's a 90-day. Langsley will. It's just until Langsley.
It's right through the fish passage plan development process.
Pretty much.
So you
won't
ever have
there's
not going to be any
cool job thing there. Won't be a problem at all.
No. It should. There should be some still some overlap.